the whole tenet through all of this is change the energy and you're going to change your life. Mm-hmm. And you, and Reiki is literally just feeling where the pushback is energetically around a body and through all the etheric bodies, because we have the physical body, but then we have other bodies, on top of that, and literally just like kind of using your hands, you know, and your intention to like push through that energy and disperse it. The science of sound is in. Sound is one of the most ancient and elemental tools humans have learned to use for healing and to remind themselves of their celestial origins. In this episode, Jenny shares her first big sound bath trip, and it is a trip. And Trey, who's an old pro, speaks to the meditative qualities, how baths clear energy, and are a launch pad for astral travel.
Meow, meow, hello.
Meow, meow, hello. It's episode 10. Holy Toledo.
We did it. Hopefully I don't have to edit around this because we decided in a different order later.
Well, we are non-linear entities, yeah. So if it turns out 10 is 12 or 4, like, oh, well.
Time's not real. Don't judge us. You don't know what's going on.
That's right. We're just really excited. We're having such a good time with this that we, you know, like every new episode just generates like more ideas of things that we know that we want to talk about. And that's a good sign, right?
Yeah. Well, and the fact that we've been like, in my opinion, just like, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we have 10 episodes. I barely even remember half of them, which isn't true. I do. But like, you know, like going great.
I have head injuries. I don't remember where I parked my car.
So valid, queen.
Oh my gosh. Well, today's episode is another special one that's near and dear. So one of the things that we really want to do on this show is to talk about how we bring all of these tools, you know, like into our daily existence. And I am a huge fan of sound baths. I've been a huge fan of sound baths for, I mean, like, geez, I don't even know at this point, 12, 14 years. Probably from the very first one that I ever went to. And then I found out that Jenny has never gone to a sound bath.
Never, ever. And I'm not going to say no to a new experience, especially one that I don't have to pay money for. So it was really good. Yay, let me do.
Yes, and I was so glad that you were game. And that's part of why, like, it's so fun to do this podcast with you, because you are game to do things. Like, you're going to be getting me to do things, and I'm going to be getting you to do things, and we're going to have all of these great experiences. So
it's going to be a wonderful cycle of new experiences.
Yeah, and then hopefully you guys at home will get excited about the things that we get excited about if you're not already there. So that's what kind of today is talking about what sound baths, or sometimes they're called sound meditations, what they are, what they're for, what their potency is, which is crazy. This is another place where that, the trauma piece, you know, the mental health stuff, the chronic health condition stuff kind of falls right over here with, you know, crossing the veil, psychic stuff comes into play. And there's so many tools out there that humans have been using for thousands of years. And the fact that sound baths, like when I moved to the new city, that's one of the first things I looked up, is like, I don't want to move there if they don't have Reiki and if they don't have sound baths.
They better. Did. Yay.
And I wasn't sure, because it was a, you know, a state that was, I don't know, just it wasn't California. We'll just put it that way. I did not move back to California where, you know, there's every third store is going to be something that has to do with the holistic, you know, mind, body, spirit experience. And you're up to talk about your sound bath experience today?
Oh, of course. Well, and I'm just now processing the fact that your sound bath experience was from a new place for you. So that's really exciting too. And I'm curious to see how it held up, because the one I went to was one you've gone to a lot and have vetted and have personal connections with. And since it's already obvious that I'm in Colorado, I will definitely plug the location and name if people think that's going to be okay.
Yes.
Give them business. But yeah, definitely. It was really, really wild experience, and I'm excited to jump into it.
Yeah, and the person you worked with is like super magic.
Oh
And
my
that's been one of
gosh.
the great things is when I started getting into all of this 15 years ago, I gotta tell you, like the state that you're in is chock-a-block with really, really powerful healers. So she's
Yeah.
one of them. I'm so happy to like turn you on to green light
What a great state
Reiki.
to become a healer in. This is fantastic.
I don't know. So Jenny, I'll ask you, like, what if you had to give a definition to what a sound bath is, what would you call it?
A sound bath is just from my, and I've had, this is technically my second one that I've ever done, but the first one was just a sound bowl meditation, but I still consider it. A sound bath would be using certain vibrational frequencies to, I don't know, if you think about like the sifter that shakes so that sand gets to the bottom and shows all the treasure. That's what it felt like it did to my mind. It was just vibrating my the crap out of my mind, you know, and just like opening doorways and really cleansing and brushing things through you.
Ooh la la, how fantastic. That is such a great, you have the best definitions of things. Holy
Writer.
Toledo. Writer.
Thank you. I
Writer.
appreciate it.
Right on. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about how I first came to love what sound does for us. And then I really want to talk about like what scientifically is happening. I think that some people hear about, well, you're laying on a yoga mat and there's somebody who's got like, I don't know, 12 crystal bowls or brass bowls, and sometimes there's gongs and sometimes there's all these weird little like wind chimey kinds of things, and and they're just like, wow, that is super woo, and they kind of they just can't get down with it, and I gotta say, like, get down with the sickness, man, because this is, it's scientifically proven what it is doing. And yeah, it may have kind of a funky setup to it, but I promise you, if you go even once, it's gonna, I don't know, it's gonna be this thing that you can't wait to do again and again and again.
As I do also know people who have had negative sound bath experiences. So like I do think it is something, it will work if you give it the chance and maybe find the right avenue, but it's also not going to work for everybody. And we also don't know
This is
who
true.
how everybody reacts to sound. So just know going in, it also can be a little bit of an intense experience or sometimes not. And so yeah, I think everybody should try it, but also if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if it does, then yay, you now have a new tool.
Yes. And that, thank you for bringing that up. I get very effusive and I forget that, hey, it's not for everybody. And we are going to talk about like some of the,
was
I mean, we'll talk about some of the negative effects that can come up, because I do think
whoa.
like I want to do, I want to do tips and tricks today to be like, if you're thinking about doing this, like this is a way to really maximize the experience, but this is also a way to connect with if because I have some HSP friends, highly sensitive people, and like there are some sounds that like they cannot tolerate. So if you are HSP, this is probably not going to be for you. But I'm also thinking, and we'll get there. We'll get there. That the folks who have negative experiences with it might be more on the spiritual plane. And I want to talk about that because I do think that there is value to get out of negative experiences as well.
I would agree.
Yes, but at the same time, like if you, if I mean, it's, for some people, it can cause nausea. Because you're talking about like the brain being sifted through, but like your cells are also being sifted and shaken and reordered. And man, if it's uncomfortable, bail. And I think that's the rule for everything. It's like the haunted house episode where it's like if you walk in and the vibes are not cool, like get out. Like nobody's making you stay. Just listen to your
Which
intuition.
can be
Get
harder for
out.
a sound bath if you've just dropped 90 on it, unfortunately. But like, get what you can out of it and then bail.
Oh my goodness. Price, hopefully they'll be nice enough to give you a refund. Like if you're having a really bad experience, like, nobody wants you to suffer. Nobody in this space wants you to suffer. So Something to keep in mind. All right, so we've gone over the disclaimer and the refund policies. So the first time I really got connected to what sound can do was I've done a number of ayahuasca ceremonies, and sound is 100% a big part of it. So yes, you've imbibed the plant medicine, but then you have shaman who are leading you through. I'm just going to call it a program, and it's a lot of singing. And these, the singing is, at a certain vibration, a certain tone, that was designed to do a lot of what we're going to be talking about. But it's also like the words themselves are, there's these ancient songs that are being passed down and passed down and passed down, and they're just packed with power. And then of course there's the whole call and response aspect of it, that if the shaman sings one line and then everybody who is present enough to be able to sing back, it can be a really beautiful communal experience that way as well. But my favorite part of it was, they had, they had the wind chimes, and they would go around to everybody and just kind of loosen up. So what's happening with the wind chimes, or really any of these sound tools, is it's literally shaking up the sound vibrations, and it clears energy. So for example, at the beginning of our podcast, when we have that three chimes, those chimes were tuned to a very specific frequency to do a lot of like what Palo Santo does or sage does when you burn it. It just disrupts negative energy. So at some point in the middle of the ceremony, you have, you've gotten to wherever you've gotten, and everybody's trip is super different. And some people are going to be on a real high and some people are going to be on a real low. So when those chimes come through, it kind of is a reset. And they had the shaman that I worked with had an amethyst goblet that was bigger than the size of my head. I loved this thing. And I would wait. I would sit up and I'd be like, yeah, here comes the amethyst goblet. I can't wait. and then they would do they have the stick, or I don't know what it's called. The thing that when you circle it around the crystal or the brass, that's what makes the tone. So sometimes you strike it and sometimes you just spin the stick around it. And I gotta tell you, that was my best friend. Like, that was one of my favorite parts of every ceremony, because I could just feel my whole body like being in response to that sound frequency. It was stunning.
Well, especially if your first experiences with it were on ayahuasca, like I can't imagine like the because anything that I've experienced on crazy enhancers, if we will, every time I re-experience that thing non-enhanced, I still have the residuals of what it was like when I was enhanced. And they carry on for forever. So that's that's really transformative. Holy cow. Good to know.
Thank you. And by the way, ayahuasca and all transformative medications are also not for everybody. It just turned out that ayahuasca was for me during that time in my life. And it's kind of true also, because then when I started doing the unenhanced sound baths, I was like, this is it.
Yeah, I bet.
And then I learned to work with them, so they still had a lot of potent. So the place I found in Denver is a place called Greenlight Reiki, which is where I sent you. Mm-hmm. And the woman there, Kathy Sados, is just off the charts magic.
Unbelievable.
Her and her mom, they got all the instruments. She's got like owl wings to, which are magical in themselves in certain traditions, of like kind of moving the air across you in conjunction with the sound. Ooh la la. And the thing that I think I like best about guided sound baths, because you can do this at home too, but guided sound baths is somebody who has set the space and is holding the space, and you are safe in that space, which is not, some people are more porous and good things and bad things can come in. That's not going to happen when you're working with a really, and Kathy did that, right? She set an intention or whatever.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And that was what I was going to say too, is like the guided sound bath, especially with Kathy, it very much felt like this is someone with years and years and years and years and years, maybe even decades of experience.
Lifetimes.
Because literally sounds that I've never heard before, where I'm just like, how is that done? And like really great combinations. And to, yeah, to just be invited, especially when it's my first time doing a guided sound bath like this, to just be invited into a space and be so welcome in that space. Yeah, Kathy was really phenomenal. And, you know, when you think about, you know, because some of these experiences can be costly. And when you think about the money for it, I really feel like if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But when you find a place that does work, it is a transformative experience. Yeah. And it's an experience I'll never forget. And like, really just like what I walked in as versus what I walk out as, completely different. Just completely different.
Yeah. How about that? You know, and price wise, like you got the full day extravaganza, mm-hmm. but most sound baths are like, you know, $20 to $40.
Yeah.
And again, if you're working with somebody who's really terrific, like that can really be worth it to make that part of yes. like a monthly, like maybe do it on the moons, because a lot of the people who do sound baths are very witchy, you know, and they're very lunar cycle oriented as well, which could be an added dose of awesomeness. So, so I started attending that quite a bit, you know, as much as I could. And I got so into it, that I, you know, I took her, she's a Reiki master. So I took just the first level of Reiki with her. And, a lot of it's very much the same. So the whole tenet through all of this is change the energy and you're going to change your life. Mm-hmm. And Reiki is literally just feeling where the pushback is energetically around a body and through all the etheric bodies, because we have the physical body, but then we have other bodies on top of that. And literally just like kind of using your hands, you know, and your intention to like push through that energy and disperse it. So that's like a physical version of it. And some people with Reiki will actually like lay hands on you. And some don't. Mm-hmm. I personally don't. But I also can do healings that are very much the same stuff. Guys, it's all the same stuff. It's just all the, you know, the myriad different ways of like learning the same tools. I do energy healing like with my mind. But I was so into the sound thing because it was doing the things that you were talking about, Jenny, that like I asked her to teach a tuning fork lesson. And she was willing to do that. And a bunch of us showed up. And the tuning fork stuff is exactly the same thing with the Reiki, but you're using the sound frequency to break through all of the dense energy, like wherever it is bogged up. Yes. So the whole point of it is that it's, you know, it's clearing the heaviness from our bodies. So if you would indulge me, I want to talk about like the physical science of it, like what's actually happening here, and why it's important to people who have a lot of anxiety or PTSD. Hi, where our parasympathetic systems are, you know, just over revved, over freaking revved. And sometimes we've slipped off into full triggering, you know, where, you know, it's that fight, flight, or freeze, fawn. What's the other F? I can't remember. There's one more now. Do you remember what the other F is?
Fight. You said flight already. Fight, flight, freeze, fawn.
There's another one.
I don't know. I didn't know that they were ruled by the Fs. That's great to know.
The five Fs of mental illness. This is how you know that your parasympathetic nervous system has been overstimulated. And you know, this really is the key physically for lots of us. And by the way, there's it's not just PTSD. There's lots and lots of health conditions. Like Jenny, how do you relate to the parasympathetic for what you've got going on?
Well, the thing is I haven't spent a whole lot of time scientifically classifying what's going on with me at any time. So like I've heard words like parasympathetic nervous system before. But like you're talking now and it's like, oh my God, like it's like spending a long time just in your bad cycles, you know, and just spending a long time on autopilot, if you will, you know, where
disassociation.
I feel like Yeah, and like, you know, there's a lot of mental reasons that people can just become overwhelmed and completely dissociate from their space, but it's nice to know that there's a nervous system that's responsible for that.
Yay, not just feral monkeys on a
Yay, science.
gerbil wheel. Yeah, so and you know, and I had to learn all of this, obviously. When I first started connecting with people who were able to help interrupt that bad cycle, which had been going on for about 4 decades. I mean, it was revolutionary. And she was explaining about how, you know, your adrenals get all fired up. And so even if you're in a freeze where you're just completely disassociated to everything that's going on around you, your parasympathetic nervous system is still like working way too hot. And you know, the adrenals are connected to the cortisol stuff. And when your system is constantly flooded with cortisol, you know, adrenals, you can literally just exhaust your body. And that's why a lot of us, we have crashes. If this goes on for too long, it can turn into autoimmune things. So, you know, pretty much everybody who's got chronic fatigue or you know, Epstein-Barr or fibromyalgia, a rheumatoid arthritis, any of these things, it's because they were in a triggered state. Their parasympathetic nervous system had been over-revved for so long that it literally melted parts of their systems. Yeah, it really sucks. It would have been great to know a lot earlier.
No kidding.
Yeah, and this is part of, you know, my mission at this point is to try to explain to as many Gen Xers because we just did not have this information available to us. So this is it will go into way more detail at some other time, but I just wanted to set
Yeah.
up the concept of the parasympathetic nervous system being, you know, over-revved. You're too stressed out for whatever reasons. Anxiety stuff is too revved, what have you. So the goal is, I'm sorry, I keep calling it the parasympathetic. The parasympathetic is when you're chill. The sympathetic nervous system is when you're over revved. See, not a doctor.
Okay,
Not a doctor.
not a doctor, people. We're not doctors.
And I even have like notes in front of me and I get it wrong. Of course I do. So your sympathetic nervous system is the thing that gets triggered, that gets over revved. And like if you're listening to like music with like a lot of heavy beats in it, like you know, that part of your system's like responding to it. So you know, back in the days when
Interesting.
you went to, you know, nightclubs, this is you're literally pumping adrenals through your system and dopamine, and so you know, like you're pushing all of the really, really great chemicals through your system because you're dancing to the music, you're listening to this music. And then, of course, you get really tired later because you've overexpended what you had to give. And then you got to go take a long nap.
Wow. So dubstep and raves can shave you, can put years on your life. That's great to know.
All right. Yes and no, but so dubstep for
No.
sure. But a lot of raves, like what is the music? EMR music, electronic dance music, EDM. There we go.
EDM, EDM, yeah.
EDM. A lot of that stuff is not beat based. A lot of it is this. It's based the same way that like jam music is. So like Fish, Grateful Dead. Any of these musicians who, you know, Avicii was known for this, where it causes entrancement, which is beautiful and amazing, right? So you're all like all of your biometrics, your biorhythms are all at exactly the same levels, and I mean, you don't have to be on drugs to like be really appreciative of that experience. Have you had that? Have you gone to any of those?
Oh my God, no, raves are a regular experience for me, and it's
Oh,
my favorite form of working out. And we've never talked about
I
this,
did
but
not
yeah,
know
I rave regularly. I finally have good earplugs and I'm taking care of myself to do so. This year I had to take a big break from it because of financials, but last year I think I went to 7 or 8 raves.
Wow.
Yeah, so a lot of my money that I have in my life has been going into that kind of thing. But
Oh my
it's my own
God.
sound bath.
Yeah,
I've been
I was
sound
just
bathing myself
thinking.
this whole time and I didn't even know it,
Oh my
you
God,
know?
you were. So I will be looking to see if there was correlations between your experience on the dance floor.
There was. Okay, good to know.
It's amazing. And sometimes rave tickets are a lot cheaper than a, you know, a sound bath in sometimes the community thing is maybe kind of sort of. Oh my gosh.
No, not really.
Fantastic. See, I couldn't do raves because I can't be in rooms with a heck of a lot of people. PTSD. Yeah. Like, just can't do it. The goal with a sound bath, as with all meditation, is to downshift your body into a parasympathetic state. I have the words right now. Okay. So this means you're, you know, like first it's the slowing down your breathing. And when you slow down your breathing, you slow down your heart rate. I mean, there's a reason why even Navy SEALs do that 4-4-4 thing, you know, like even in times of crisis, if they can reconnect with their breathing and get their breathing kind of regimented, it calms down their parasympathetic state. And then they don't slide off into crisis mode. So that's what that's what we're doing here. We're just meditating, man. And it chills out the body. All your systems start slowing down. Your muscles start relaxing. You can even get like, you know, like your for me, like there's parts of my like skeleton that if I can get the bone to relax, then the skeleton underneath it can also relax. So it's this miraculous thing that doesn't happen a lot for people with, you know, with triggered PTSD. It's not a cure, you guys, but it circumvents all of that fight, flight, freeze stuff. And then what happens when your body goes into the parasympathetic state is you are now getting out of your own way, and your body can do the thing that it naturally will do if it's not being interfered with all of this, you know, chaos and the feral monkeys and the adrenaline stuff. It starts to heal itself. So when you go to a sound bath, you're not just chilling out. Your body is getting an opportunity to do some healing. So a lot of the things that supposedly we do when we're asleep, but guess what? When you have PTSD or CPTSD, like you and I, we have insomnia.
Yeah, not doing it while we're asleep.
So we don't even get to the point where our bodies can do the healing at night and the processing because our bodies just never relax. We just never freaking relax. So there you go. Now, even if you don't have chronic conditions, obviously, you know, relaxation, this is that stress relief program that everybody is now realizing that they got to do. And before it was just like, oh, there's just so many notifications on my phone. And now it's like, oh, the entire world is on fire. Like we're all stressed out. This is a great way.
And what you're saying makes a lot of sense because the biggest crazy thing for me after the sound bath was just how exhausted I was and just like how different I felt the entire day afterwards, where I was hanging out with people afterwards and, you know, one of them was listening to metal music on a speaker. And I was like, hey, like, I don't think I love metal normally, but I don't think I can vibe with this right now. My frequency is just so low and I'm just so tortoise like today, you know, and it was really nice. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense because I don't think, you know, outside of my time at raves, I don't think I am taking care of the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems as much as I should and getting myself into a place of a parasympathetic nervous system. Because then when it did finally happen, it was like, holy cow, I've been needing this for so long. And we have so much to catch up
about
on.
25 years.
For the next week. Yes. Like you're done for the next week. Like, you know, tips and tricks for people doing this for the first time is be prepared to be out at the very least for the next day. Cause yeah, it definitely, you know, and especially cause I went to my sound bath completely sober, which was intentional. And I also showed up to it very elevated nerves and cause I was running late and my anxiety was high and yeah, it just tore me open, like in a good way, but like, yeah. Wow, that makes a lot of sense.
Nice.
Especially with the breath work that's in the beginning. So,
Yeah. Which is so annoying to people with anxiety. Like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Don't tell me like 6-4, 6-7. Rah, rah, rah. But like at some point, guess
terrible.
What? Like, it works.
It wasn't as terrible because she was ahead of me. And so she was like, you know, going from 8 to 6 really quickly. And I'm like, I'm still on 8 breaths. Like I'm falling behind. My anxiety was acting up.
And then there's people like us. We're now grading ourselves because we can't breathe on tempo. And yeah.
Exactly.
I hear you. I'm with you. Yes, but at some point, like the point is just to be mindful of your own breath. And she, yes, like, if you tune to her, neato. But the point is for you to like find that basic rhythm, you know, and to follow along. And I'm sure everybody at home knows this, but the idea is however long you breathe in, you want to spend like two counts longer breathing out, because that is one of the cues for your parasympathetic system to go, oh, I'm supposed to kick in now. I don't know why a longer exhale is magic that way, but it is. So we are, I don't know, like 78% water or something like that. Like we're a lot of water. And
a lot of water.
The notes literally like vibrate you because we're not so densely, you know, we're not all bone, right? And this always makes me think of, there's a Japanese research scientist, Masaru Emoto, who figured out that when he put water from different places under a microscope, the crystals would have different designs to it. So think like snowflakes. So when he was getting water from, you know, out in the wilderness, like mountain streams or whatever, and he would look at the crystals, they were all, I mean, just beautiful, beautiful, organized designs. But then when he got, this is really sad, when he got water from the city, they were not geometrical. And they were like jagged and they were really deformed and it was gross. He's like, oh, let's take this one step further. Can we fix the bad water? So he would play like, you know, Bach or whatever, Vivaldi, like, or he would play music that was like really loving, and sweet to it. And sure enough, the water, even the ugly, sad, mean city water, would respond to the sound vibrations and reorganize into these beautiful. So he would heal the water.
So interesting. Well, I was going to say that's interesting because there's also a practice of keeping water in a singing bowl, you know, and I specifically got a singing bowl that I can put water in on purpose, because then when you use it correctly, it vibrates the water in a really beautiful way. And I vibrationally feel like that water does feel differently afterwards. So it's good to know that there's science behind it too.
There's science Very for interesting. It. And then of course he could also break water. So if he took the pretty, pretty mountain stream water and then played, you know, like that metal, that horrible metal music that your friend was listening to.
Satanic.
that satanic ministry. He would play like hardcore, you know, rah, rah music, and it would break the molecules and it would break the designs and they would fall out of. So if you think about for yourself, if you're 78% water, like how are your geographical designs doing? So if we're in these states where we're triggered, our systems are just not running very well. And a sound bath does exactly what this guy did. You know, it reorganizes all of the water in you so that it's now in alignment and you're just chill. And, you know, you're just a happy person because your crystals are pretty.
Well, and it's interesting to think about, because like there's been a lot of research that shows that when people who regularly listen to metal or just hardcore music have happier mental health sometimes, or just like are more in tune with their frequencies. And it's interesting to think about, maybe sometimes we need to break up our water molecules a little bit too, and do that more regularly and have both ends of the spectrum. So that's really fascinating too.
So, you know, fun fact, I'm always running around being like, YouTube is your friend. I have sound bath music going on, I don't know, probably a third of the day. So when I'm working, I will use sound bath music because it calms my brain down and lets me focus. When my dog was still alive, she was deaf, but I would still play like the certain frequencies clear out the negative energy, just like the Palo Santo or the sage does. So I would have, you know, house clearing frequencies going all over the place. So she would be nice and calm because she doesn't have to hear it for it to work on her system.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like at night, like with insomnia, oh my gosh, there's a guy who does his channel is called Healing Vibrations. You'll know him by his orange tabby cat. And he does amazing sound baths. You know, you put in your earbuds if you're comfortable sleeping that way, and that half the time can help me get back to sleep because it's
Wow.
circumventing, you know, again, that system that wants to rev up, and I don't know. But
Yeah.
so all of that said, so all of this positive stuff, you know, science, there can be some negative reactions to it. So the science, there's science behind that as well. And again, we're still talking about just what it's doing to the meat suit. We haven't even gotten to the metaphysical stuff. So there's a part of your brain called the amygdala, and this is where, like, when it gets triggered, this is like where the fear gets activated, and we can revert back to, you know, some people call it the monkey mind, some people call it like the lizard brain, where it's all, gosh, how would I explain it? Like, instinctive, but like in a bad way.
It's primal.
It's primal. There it is. Perfect. And that can trigger like big emotions. So, I have absolutely 100% cried in sound baths because it's again shaking loose all of that energy that's getting stopped up in places. And if you can get that energy moving, then it's going to release what's underneath that. So if you put lots of, you know, shielding around your heart because I don't know, you just had a big fight with somebody and you just, you know, you don't know how to deal with it, you don't want to deal with it, so you kind of shut it down and then you go to a sound bath. Guess what? Chances are that emotion's going to
Coming
come
up.
up, but it's processing it out and through the body. Now, that said, I've also had occasions where there was such a horrendous feeling of dread and fear, and like just being swallowed by this wall of terror. But again, it's still just my emotions that got stuck somewhere, and it just shook something loose. And if you know that that's a possibility, and if you can kind of stay with the emotions and feel the emotions and breathe through it, cry through it, like whatever you got. Like I've totally heard other people crying through sound baths too, because it shook out the stuff that we have been blocking inside of ourselves. But sometimes those big emotions are just too much. They're just too much. And it can make people like never want to do it again. Even though the next time, chances are that's not going to happen again.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like the side effects and everything feel a lot like similar to tripping, you know, like just like psychedelics tripping. And the experience that I had during my sound bath completely sober was also similar to tripping. And
What a
yeah,
perfect
that makes a.
segue. Let's talk about the metaphysical aspects of sound baths.
Yes.
Yay! So here's the next thing that can happen, and it doesn't happen for everybody. And some of us go in intentionally, being like, you know what? I haven't tripped multidimensionally in a while. Like, I'm gonna go hit me a sound bath and go have some fun. And that sounds like what you did. Yes.
Oh,
Would you
definitely. Well, and
share?
just so you know, the experience that I had was art therapy and sound bath, and I'll touch on the art therapy part a little bit because we're going to do another episode. But essentially, it was painting subconsciously, and we painted before the sound bath, did the sound bath, and then returned to painting afterwards. And the sound bath itself, I think, was an hour. It did not feel like an hour. It felt way faster than that. But at the end of the entire experience, I had been there a little under 3 hours. So it makes sense that it was an hour. But yeah, it very much, because I've worked on my breathing rituals a lot, and I've worked on trance rituals a lot, and the breathing immediately put me into a trance. Like once I got out of the mindset of trying to make sure I stayed in tune with her breathing
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I just cared more about my breathing and where I was at. I was like, okay. And I kept getting into this trance state, and it was intentional on my end. So I will say that I did put that intention to get into that trance state. But to have the sounds being there with me, I didn't have to work as hard as I normally have to get into a trance state. I was like ferried into it, you know? And I think specifically because she went from this rain device that she had that she got from another country that makes
Australia.
It sound like,
yes.
Truly, yeah, it truly, truly sounds. Well, and it's not just like a normal rainmaker. I think she said hers might have even been from Africa. Ooh. It was disc shaped and it was a lot more like intentionally designed, and it sounded like rain. Like it didn't just sound like rice pouring down into it, it sounded like rain. It was really, really crazy. And then she went from that to drums, then to gongs, then to bowls. And I think the gongs in particular, this in-out pattern that she had with the gongs of making it feel like a wave was washing over my body. Yes. And I was just being consumed by this wave in and out, in and out. And like, whenever I'm breathing really hard and my eyes are closed, I'll start fractaling really hard and just seeing fractals a lot. And it was a lot of that. And then at certain points, I definitely felt a presence with me, which I also do when I do trance rituals. I'll see eyes pretty regularly. So yeah, but as it was happening, I definitely felt that in-out wave made me feel like my brain was wavy, you know, and whenever my brain feels wavy, that's psychedelic similar. Like when I'm on psychedelics, I feel that in and out wave, you know, I feel the wave of life.
And fractals are also associated with psychedelics too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I see fractals when I'm not tripping. So like when I am tripping, it's way worse. So yeah, it was really, really interesting and really intense. And like, whenever I'm tripping as well, my anxiety will spike and my blood pressure will spike.
Oh.
And my heart just tries to jump. And I actively have to breathe against that. And like, that's how I've learned to control the trip. And when I was in the sound bath, I felt my heart trying to do the same thing. I felt my anxiety trying to get up there and try and push up there. But because of how effectively I had already started breathing, it was like an automated process of just pulling myself back into myself. And like, you know, it was like I was dough being kneaded through, you know, that's very much how it felt.
Wow.
So yeah, it was crazy, crazy. I've never heard sounds like that in my life. I was like, how did she do that? Well, because you've been there before, the studio, the wood floors and then the big crystal bowls, everything vibrates.
Yeah.
You know, like your body is just vibrating and you feel it throughout the entire room. It was crazy.
And it's on a train track, like a mass transit track. And I always find that like, when the train goes by, it just adds to it because it's like this rumbling.
Yeah. Oh,
love it. Cool. So did you... So lots of, it sounds like lots of emotional, physical things, but did you go any place specific? Were you seeing any entities or any other like dimensions, planets, land?
No. So what happens for me when I'm in a trance ritual, sometimes I will see things, but it's very rare. We talked about before we started this podcast today about how people who have ADHD, meditation is different for them because you can't clear your brain. Mm-hmm. You know, I will always have thoughts. Thoughts will not stop. What ends up happening is in these trance rituals, the thoughts become streamlined and the words almost play across my brain more, you know? And so there will be a lot of mental communication that happens with me, where I will just start channeling thoughts really, really hardcore. Wow. And I'm not going to remember these thoughts at all. I barely ever, ever, ever remember these thoughts, but I start channeling pretty hardcore of just thoughts that I'm having, things that I've experienced. And then, yeah, sometimes I will go places and it's possible I did. Mm-hmm. I definitely saw eyes and I've always associated these eyes with Hecate, but it also could be my other spirit as well. But I definitely saw eyes looking at me and like felt like I was communing with this entity that I was seeing.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe I went somewhere. I don't remember. I remember the sounds, but I don't remember the existing in the sounds, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And not everybody does remember, but you know, what happens in sound bath sometimes stays in sound bath, but it's still in your body, you know, it's still in your subconscious. So whatever experience you're having, it's, it's still real, even if you can't, mm-hmm. you know, go and see a friend for coffee afterwards and like explain it to them. Yes. Oh, that sounds delicious though. And I've seen eyes a ton as well. So I feel like eyes are maybe kind of a, I don't know, just a human thing, right? When we're out there.
Well, and I want to disclaimer real quick for those who have ADHD like myself, like I've always had a hard time just discerning between my overactive imagination and like actually getting visions. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to understand they're actually more one and the same than I thought. And so I would encourage people who don't think that they're having visions during these things to like, be like, well, it's your imagination running. And if you go to a place in your imagination,
that's you're there. A vision. That's it. That's vision. What a vision is. Yes. That's what manifestation is imagining. And that could be really tricky, especially for, I mean, there's a whole class of us who simply need to say no a lot before we're willing to say yes to something. And at some point you just say, you know what, like that happened, like just to take ownership of it, even if it doesn't have any basis in any kind of reality. It just seems, you know, too far out there to possibly be real. Just be like, no, man, that happened. That was real. And you'll feel it in your body where your body will relax and be like, oh, thank God she believes us.
Yeah, definitely.
So embrace it. So I've astral traveled my whole life. I think I did my first like aware astral projection-y thing when I was in the sixth grade. Because I had a sixth grade teacher who was who taught us this. And I was
she
like,
she taught you how to astral project.
It was a he, thank you very much.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
No. Mr. Ladd was just the bomb. He was a life-changing teacher. So he was teaching us meditation. He taught us astral projection. And then, of course, you know, like life got harder and I just shut everything down. But I remember connecting and being like, oh, so this is what I'm doing when I'm asleep. So I've always been a multi-dimension person. Like I've always been flitting all over the place, man. And I can remote view stuff and whatever. But what ayahuasca did and what the sound baths did is it gives me kind of an organized way and time to go and do these things in a safe container. Cause again, you've got somebody who, you know, who's set the space and set the intention. And then I can just go and play. So for the most part in sound baths, a lot of them will give you like a guidance, like to just help you get going. And they'll be like, you're walking in the woods and, you know, you see, I don't know, like a hole in a tree stump and there's, you know, a lot of your favorite animals are there and they're all very welcoming and the sun is beautiful. Like, right. So it really makes you feel safe to do it. And it's like, go ahead and go into the, you know, the tree stump thing. And then, you know, a lot of times, you know, you like slip down into the soil and you're actually like in the ground and you can feel it and like you could feel the roots and stuff and you know, and you're not panicking or anything because again it's been set up to be safe. And then it's like, okay, and you know, and the underground is of course like your subconscious, you know, and it's a great place to just kind of dump a lot of you know, whatever gross stuff you're carrying. And then at some point it's like, okay, now I want to get out of here and I want to go see what's outside of this. What does the land look like? So that's one way through. And whenever people do forest stuff, I instantly change it to ocean stuff because I'm an ocean person.
Yeah, you don't like the forest.
I don't. We've talked about that in previous. So there must be, you know, past lives that just like bad things happen in forests. Like I will stay in my cities and I will stay on the beach. Thank you. But all of this kind of got tied together for me when I went to the Uber sound bath. And this is the Integratron. Integratron. I will put it in the show notes. This is the thing that was built out in the California desert. So let me just set the stage for you. Number one, it's huge. It's huge. There are probably, I think, like 20 people can all go in there.
Wow.
And have their yoga mats, and our feet are all facing the same direction. So it's just like this big circle dome. Like literally go to the show notes and like click on the link and go have a look at this thing. It's astonishing.
I went into a lot of this episode blind outside of like, you know.
I know. That was
sound
the
bath
fun.
Experience. I know. And it was very much, okay, here's the physical science behind what sound baths do to you, but there's all this spiritual potential it will unlock for you, and it's very much our body's physical sciences are trying to support our souls becoming more enlightened, and at the same time, they
there you go.
It.
That's it. That's all it is, you guys. That's all it is.
All
that's
it is. All it wow. Is.
Yes, and I know we're at the upper margins of how long we like to do on these, but I do have like just a few tips and tricks. Do you
yeah,
think I should go
it.
Ahead and do that? And
yeah,
I mean, we can parse it off if we need to, or if you guys are. You know, listening at home and interested in this, these are some tips and tricks that we would like to share. So one of them is, you know, set a grounding cord from your first chakra and like, you know, just to think about like, okay, I'm in a protective bubble. Like this is my space, you know, nothing can come in. You know, you want to be connected to this world. And then Jenny, one of the things you talked about, like setting an intention, like, what do you yeah. want to go do? And it doesn't have to be, you know, like, oh, you know, I want to work on my inflammation. Like you can do meat sack healing things, but you can also
meat
do
sack
things
healing.
Like, that's what I call it, dragging around the old meat sack. But you can also do things like, I want to go meet my spirit guide, or I want to meet my spirit animal, or, you know, I want to go to a past life, or you know, just whatever, right? You can set an intention. So Jenny, for people with neurodiversity, like ADHD, like what might an intention look like for you?
First of all, prepare yourself. There's going to be intense moments. You know, if you're somebody who functions off of smoking weed or medication, just because I went sober doesn't mean you have to, you know, like, I think it'll be okay. However, your spirits and your inner body is telling you to experience this thing, like, listen to that and do that. But it will have intense moments. But what it will also do is if it works and if it tunes you, it will momentarily shed all of that noise that's going on in your head for the ADHD, mm-hmm. you know, and it will just rip you from it. And I feel like, you know, you're a little like a baby coming out of it, and you're just so vulnerable to outside influence. Oh. It's like, protect yourself, but also maybe, you know, coming into this with emotional self-care regulation purposes would help a lot. Whoever you are, you're going to feel different. Like, you're going to feel it whether you like it or not, or it's just you know. And I also think it depends on who you go to, mm-hmm. But you're going to feel differently after that, so just be prepared.
Yeah.
Like, don't make a whole lot of plans after your sound bath.
yes be that's so funny, because that's exactly the language I used here. Be prepared to take naps.
Yeah.
Be prepared to be kind of wiped out.
Be prepared
because
to be a nappy little girl.
With those of us who use a lot of these tools, we trust that it's literally our higher selves who decide what it is that we can manage at that time. So even for the
yeah.
folks who do have a dark experience, and, you know, like a scary experience, whether it's the amygdala getting overwhelmed by dark emotions or seeing things. I have seen things. And that will be another episode where, I mean, triggered me for like a year. For a year, I saw such things. But at the same time, it was like, but my soul wouldn't have let me do that if it wasn't mine to experience.
If people have intense experiences from this, I really recommend considering, because I think the moral is, if it's a bad experience, that's valid. Don't give up on it yet, you know, and
go meditate
maybe,
on it, you know, go
yeah,
wait until it's
and,
the right time to go again. You'll know.
Well, and maybe you look at some of the tools that are associated with a sound bath and consider getting them for yourself, because mm-hmm. I started with singing bowls on my own and learning how to use singing bowls, yes. and learning how to use a singing bowl is an emotional regulation thing in itself. And it's about emotion. It's regulating your energy and your vibrational frequency in the moment. And so maybe if you can start using these tools that they use during sound baths in smaller ways and in a controlled environment where you're controlling it yourself, that's another avenue into this.
Yeah.
You know, and microdosing this experience for yourself a little bit, maybe gets you more in tune with
YouTube
the actual
is your
trip experience. Yeah, definitely. Or just listen to some people on YouTube. That's free.
Yeah, another thing that Kathy does is she has a lot of crystals there and she's like, go and find what calls to you.
Yes,
and sometimes it's an amplifier crystal and sometimes it's a grounding crystal. So, you know, take what is going to end up being the thing that helps you through. I also like to, so one of the things that, it's called an anchor. So one of the first things that I got, I used to do drum. So instead of the bowls, actually that's where it started, as I used to go to a shaman's, drum
circles.
It wasn't a circle cause it was just her. but the drum does exactly the same thing. It does exactly what the crystal bowls do. I'd forgotten that was a thing that I used to do that all the time.
Wow, unlocking memories.
And yeah, and she taught me that, you know, when you first get started in the astral travel stuff, like you want to create an anchor or a portal. So I remember I was talking about like, oh, you're in the forest, you see a tree and there's like a hole in the tree and you go through that hole in the tree and then you land wherever the heck you land. When you come back, that is now your anchor. That is your portal. So, you know, this is this world. And then when you go through that, you know, the cave or if you actually do create a doorway or whatever it is, that's your anchor. When you come back, you want to come back through that same portal, that same anchor. And it's just a good way to kind of wrap up the experience. So your soul gets back, you know, efficiently back into your body. I don't want to make it sound like if I don't go through my portal, is my, you know, astral body not come back? Well, no, not at all. It's just a quick, easy way to do it. Lots of people had spirit animals that when they would go, you know, over that they would look for comfort, right? They would want their spirit animal and you may not even know what it is, but look around, like who's hanging out. Alrighty. Well, that's it. That's all I have to say. We'll put connections in the show notes so you can go and find, I promise you, if you look around your general area, there's going to be people who conduct sound baths. So go have some fun.
And for those who are in the Colorado area and want to check out Greenlight Reiki, they have a lot of tailor designed classes and things, you know, and I specifically did an art therapy experience and the sound bath was tailored to the art therapy experience and vice versa. And that was really transformative for me because the entire experience centered on my art. So I really encourage you to try and find areas where it's going to be something more than just a sound bath. Maybe it's a sound bath experience with something else. And yeah, because
they do ceremonies. Cacao is the chocolate, which is a very, 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 very mild psychedelic. I've seen like yoga, so doing yoga nidra along with it or that sort of thing. So yeah, that's just fun.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks
and then, as always, cheers.
Meow, meow. Meow.